All right, here we go again with another helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. Hope everyone's in good health. Format, as I keep rabbiting on about, because I do get emails asking why I can't do the full show. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one. All new shows are released on Saturday. So even if it's not on YouTube and there's no trailer, if you go to the website on a Saturday at some point, you should see it there. Podcasts are always available at cheapfarm.co.uk, as I said. And we also put part one on Podomatic. They distribute them to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google, and Apple, and a few others. Please subscribe to the website, because YouTube is a thing of the past. You get notifications for all the new shows if you're interested. If not, no worries, man. Thanks for the kind comments and emails. Sheep Farm Shop, thanks for all your orders. Delivery times are about 10 working days, because I do get asked that as well. All the podcasts I'm putting on Odyssey and Rumble as well, but they do take a bit of time to load up on there. It seems to take all day for one video, so it is a bit time consuming, even for an hour's worth of video. I have also loaded up the Matt Wancock, Chris Whitty, the Johnson videos that we did back in 2021. I will load a few more up. I think I loaded the Spanish Blue nonsense up as well on there. So if you go to Rumble, Sheep Farm Studios on Rumble and Sheep Farm Studios on Odyssey, you'll see some of the old ones that I've loaded up. Oh, another thing as well. Somebody said that the cat couldn't log in, get into Rumble on the like the TV or the bit, but somebody mentioned that you can get into it on Fire Stick and Roku devices. So over my head, that I don't use any of that business, but there you go. There'll be no podcast next week, so that'll be Saturday. I think it's the 23rd. But back the week after, we'll probably put a couple out over Christmas while we've got no time, as long as Chris hasn't drunk himself to a stupor.
I don't actually drink any more at Christmas than I do normally.
It's rather worrying, isn't it? As you've just heard him there, with me tonight, as usual, is our Chris. You've just heard him tipping his bottle of wine out, just into a pint glass, and we're strong.
Nice bottle of Pinot Noir from Romania.
Right. Thanks for all your orders on vitamin C. And what I want to point out is there are different types of vitamin C. So somebody asked me a question today. It's not like the stuff they've been using, because their stuff's really sour. Is it still? That's ascorbic acid. That's you could call it pure form, but it's not pure. It is the pure form of ascorbic acid, and it is very sour. I used to take that when I first started out. I couldn't handle the sourness. Some people like the sourness. I've got a mate of mine.
I don't mind either, me.
Yeah, I know you don't. I've got a mate of mine who won't take sodium ascorbate. He'll only take, and I introduced him to vitamin C, he'll only take ascorbic acid. He likes that sour taste. Some people do. I couldn't like lemons like that either.
It's like medicine, sometimes you need that nasty taste to make you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind the sour one myself.
No, people don't. Some people don't. But sodium ascorbate is a bit lighter to take. And you seem to be able to get more in. It's a bit lighter on the tummy as well. Hence why it's called buffered vitamin C.
I can neck loads of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm realizing.
So can I. And I get more in my system as well. Seem to absorb more. Chris has been busy with his gaping gobs.
Since Saturday.
His gob is gaping.
Well, to be fair, that thing we did on Saturday, which was fantastic. In hindsight, I probably shouldn't have done it in December, should I? For me.
No, in hindsight, we probably shouldn't. Lessons learnt. Mm. We don't know about these things because we're new to all this game.
Since we did it, I've been running uphill, trying to catch up. But I can't, I never complain for being busy.
No. Like being busy. No. But it's a short-term thing, isn't it, for you, that? You seem to pick seasonal
Christmas
chefing. And, chefing's not quite seasonal for you now, is it?
No. Well, I'm going to start doing a Santa Claus business next year.
I think you should. Yeah.
Just to destroy me next Christmas.
Yeah. The talk on Saturday at Jonathan's and Anne's place was fantastic. So thanks for all those that came. It were great. A little bit scary sometimes, but not scary as in bad scary, but
Nice to meet Jonathan. I've never met Jonathan before and his missus. Yeah.
Good peoples.
Yeah. Met some lovely people. I went to the pub like we said we were going to do beforehand and met loads of sheep farmers. It was great. I really enjoyed it. Do you know, I don't like public speaking, but I didn't get nervous even though there were 100 people there.
Right.
Weird. I usually get hit, stuff like that, but it was all right. It was quite funny that people come up to you and go, kept coming up to me and saying, "It's so weird, I feel like I know you." And I said, "It's weird for you. I just sit in the corner of my bloody living room and now we're talking to 100 folk." It's bizarre though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Sorry if I didn't say hello to anyone.
We couldn't say hello to everybody. That's the problem.
Well, you know me, I like chatting to everybody.
Yeah, try.
I said to, there's a lady who follows us on Instagram, Dawn, and I said, I thought you said you were going to be there. You didn't say hello. She said, I was the one who shouted out the flat earth thing when we were asking questions. Jonathan's like, we're not talking about flat earth.
But that were about 10:30 or something, wasn't it? Yeah. I can't remember what time it was.
It was funny, though. His reaction was quite funny, wasn't it?
But it weren't just a presentation, was it? We did quite a lot of Q&A as well.
Yeah. I think that made it nicer.
Yeah. But I think, again, I said that we're talking to a mature, not as in age, but as in research. Most people have done their own research or listened to people bang on about certain things for years, read books on it, et cetera, et cetera. People
have been listening. They were all pretty seasoned, weren't they?
100%. And I think, you've got to show some respect that then some of their knowledge, they know. Hopefully you can add some new stuff with research that
surely nothing
you did. With the research that you did.
All that research you did, delivered to you in a briefcase by helicopter before.
By shillcopter, yeah.
By shillcopter. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people know loads of stuff we don't and whatever. It's just that we've ended up doing this, haven't we? Mm.
I do feel uncomfortable, I've got to say. I know you know I do.
When we got a round of applause at the beginning, I thought you were going to shed a tear.
Yeah.
It's quite shaken.
It's quite emotional, but also I'm not looking for any sort of adulation, if you like, because
I am.
Yeah, you're just craving it. Yeah. But I'm not interested in the message. The information is too important to draw your ego into it, to be chasing any kind of notoriety. That's why, in some ways, although it's good to go out and meet people and talk to people, I do like making the podcasts or doing sort of like a docufilm type podcast, because it's all about the information, not about anything else. But yeah, I do realize as well that we've got to do these things every now and again. I'm not a good traveler either. That's why I want to do it in Huddersfield. When I say I'm not a good traveler, what I mean by that is Lyme disease has put pay to that. You know, sometimes even coming back from there, start getting a headache and stuff like that when you've been organising stuff. Just driving down to your house, Chris, it's only a few hours.
Try a bloody 6-hour round trip.
No, but driving down to your house, it seems to destroy me now. It takes me a day to recover, whereas before I'd just done it in stride.
I've always wandered around like a frigging gypsy, haven't
I? Yeah, but that's life, isn't it? So hence why I don't really do loads of talks. It's not that I don't want to do them. I can't say they're top of my list either, but they're not bottom of my list either, so... and I really enjoyed doing the presentation the other day. The problem I've got with presentations is, rather than doing a hardcore deep dive, that's why I took the Orwell thing into 3 and nearly bloody 7 hours worth of, 9 hours worth of podcasts, is because I don't like missing details out. A lady asked me there saying something about the Garraway one. You said that you were either Garraway or Draper or a Mason. And I thought, I didn't say that. And I couldn't remember. And I'm not knocking anybody asking questions or like that. But I understand where they got that information from. I had to go back and listen to it to see where it came from. And then I realised that all that information there, I never even talked about when I was there. Mm. And it was really interesting. Like the name Garraway means spear.
Yeah, I remember that bit.
The name Garraway means spear. I mean, can you make this stuff up?
Mm. I remember that bit. I knew there was something funky about the names, yeah.
And there was a guy in, whether he's related to her, called the famous Garraway, Sir Henry Garraway. And he was a member of the Drapers Association or whatever it is, which was similar to the Masons, right? Yeah. It's a similar organisation to the Stonemasons, yeah? And that's, I think that's where the mix-up came. But would it surprise... I've no proof that he were a Mason. However, I would say Derek Draper was possibly intelligence services. And I say possibly because I've got no proof. So this is just an opinion. And possibly a Mason. Because he had all the hallmarks, member of a secret club in London, et cetera, et cetera. Seemed to be working for all different sides. But anyway, yeah. Missus went to hairdressers today. I never go to hairdressers.
Sort of for a faucet out.
Yeah. She overheard a story about a woman saying, we're in one at seats. I think she were having a pink rinse as well. that her baby or somebody's baby she knew or a grandchild's or something like that, I can't remember what she said, was born with blood clot issues.
Was it blood clots, was it?
Yeah, and it's on medication. So this is a newborn baby, but blood clot issues.
Is that a common thing for babies to get blood clots?
What would you say? Given what we've been through the last 3 years. And this baby's now on meds, but it has to come off them while it's having its 8-week, 12-week and 16-week vaccine regime from the good old National Health Service. And then so it goes back on them again.
Oh, God.
It's rare as well. It's always rare. Everything's rare. I mean, it doesn't seem rare because you seem to be hearing it quite a lot.
Babies, though, Fatty. This is when you feel angry, innit?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a violent person. But yeah, someone came up to me. I forget everyone's name. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I spoke to that lad for ages. But he came up to me and said, how many times are you going to say you're not violent, but... It's just this stuff we talk about. You can't help but be filled, especially when you bring kids into it.
Yeah.
This is... Because I look at my nipper and just think, these bastards want to jabbed. We got a surprise email from school yesterday. I mean, they've had the vaccinators in twice, saying they're coming in Wednesday morning in case anyone's missed it. I'm sure no one will listen to this.
The exterminators.
Yeah. So we're going to take her in the afternoon because I just don't want her to be around. She's too young to be asking what it's for, and maybe I should get it. Flu fucking vaccination. Yeah. No, leave us alone.
Yeah, I know. One thing I'll say about these Machiavellian parasites is that they are relentless, aren't they? The system is relentless, isn't it?
I mean, it's because we've got memories like fucking gnats, right? But how can you not remember that the flu jib jab came out for old folk and they've just wheeled it back like they always have done, like they did with a Diviquan. Just wheeled it back to kids, and then kids end up getting it. People who, even if you believe in the shite, don't need it. And it just gets wheeled back until, no, we're going to give your kid it as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Imagine that when we were younger. A flu jab, stroke, spray, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but that came out, for old people. Mm. And now they're giving it new pregnant women and newborn babies.
Well, that's what happened with the Divot. They just did it in a year. In that, it were over, what, 5 6
decade
years,
or whatever, yeah.
Decade, yeah. And then everyone can have it now.
You were for over 65s, wasn't it?
Well, I remember, Fatty, because I was managing the cafe in Leeds, and it was predominantly older folk that went in there. Mm. And I remember it coming out when they were pushing it onto older folk, and them all getting it and saying they felt like shit. And it was just them who got it then. And now you're giving it to 5-year-olds in school.
Yeah.
How can you not see it's just a cash cow, cash making machine?
Surface is cash.
Yeah,
make everyone eugenics Ill, program.
Whatever, yeah. Who knows what's in there? That could be the same thing as the booster, for all we know.
I'm sure they're changing them. But it's just a flu jab, isn't it? Or a flu spray. Nobody knows what ingredients are in because nobody looks. So they can physically change those ingredients every year and you wouldn't
know.
Could
be anything, couldn't it?
Yeah.
It's only spray.
And in reality, they do change the ingredients every year.
Well, they because it's for a different strain. They take a little gamble on what strain it could be.
Yeah. It's not like the tried and tested MMR taps, you know. But yeah, so somebody sent an email. You mentioned that the word, what was it, Pride Month had demon in it.
Well, that was Matt Landman who said that actually to us. Right. When, last time we spoke to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the words, the letters that are left spell Prith. When you take Pride Month out, PR and PRITH. And somebody's Googled it and it's on, in Sanskrit, the word means cast. So demon cast.
Right. Nice. Cast a demon or demon yeah. cast. Is yeah. that a coincidence, do you think? Just to revert back a sec, right, about Jibby Jabs. I was watching UK column. I'm just regurgitating their number. These aren't mine because he had Ed Down on there. I like listening to Ed Down because he's a.
Does he have a big guy. Show mic?
Well, is it? Do you know? Isn't it funny how people who are coming out about, you know, the recent apocalypse they're trying to cause? Mm. Isn't it funny that a lot of them are stats guys, aren't they? They're not. There's a lot of medical guys, obviously.
Yeah, like Steve Kirsch and stuff like
and,
that.
And Ed Down, they're not conspiracy people. These are the ones I find interesting.
Unless you're talking to James O'Brien. If you question anything, you're a conspiracy theorist.
But even that guy in New Zealand with the numbers, I don't know if he's even a conspiracy theorist. He's just a fellow.
Well, they get the data guy.
Yeah.
He is when he says he was. But
you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
What is a conspiracy theorist? Somebody that questions something that's wrong.
Well, I probably worded that wrong. Far gone he is. But on UK column, they were going through some numbers with Ed Down. Week 45 of this year, UK excess deaths up to the 6th of November, 71,500.
Yeah.
World War II, 1939 to 1945, 67,000.
What, excess deaths?
Yeah.
UK. Not including soldiers?
Well, I'm guessing that is soldiers, isn't it?
Well, not in 7 years, no. The more people killed in that.
All right. So what does that mean then? All right.
I haven't a clue. I don't know.
I've written that down wrong then.
Yeah.
Got somewhere wrong.
That doesn't make sense. That means in World War II, there were only 67 British thousand. There were nearly 20-odd thousand killed in Blitz.
Right.
Of civilians.
How many died? Right.
Maybe he might have meant civilians.
Might have meant civilians. Yeah, it must be civilians. Anyway, all right, scrap that. But anyway, UK excess deaths this year, 71,500.
We won't call you Statman then.
No, don't call me Statman. I'm not a stat guy. That's why I watch these people. They know how to do it. I can't even fucking write it down right.
I tell you what was funny, just to stop you there, when you were at that pub and that lady said, oh, there's Chris. No, the husband said, there's Chris. And that lady said, it can't be Chris. His nostrils aren't big enough.
Three people said that to me, fella. Not one, three.
People starting to.
I thought it were you, and then I realised.
Two manhole covers in your face.
No, the reason you bring it up is because you've got massive nostrils and I haven't.
Yeah, but you say that, but people know now.
No, you people have realised why you say it.
People realise that you've just got manhole covers for a nose.
It was like black hole. And then Ed Dowd came back with. March 2021 to February 2022, 60,000 25 to 44 year olds in America are in excess.
Mm.
25 to 44 year olds.
It's just relentless, Chris. All this is just relentless.
How are they covering it up? How are they keeping it quiet?
Because, I mean, right, the people there, or whatever, 100 people there the other night, most of them people have been into this stuff for years. In fact, I was talking to someone and she was saying she brought a friend came with her and they can tell they've both been into this for a long time. Mm. And she said, there's about five of us on our road that we didn't know were into this stuff. And 2020's brought them together. So I know some people think a lot of people are waking up and I'm sure they are. I'm sure people are realizing that what the illusion that we live in. But I also think that a lot more people have made contact. They're finding the tribe, if you like, because there were nowhere else to go to, were there? There were no one to talk to. If you didn't want to wear a mask or have a test or do the things that they wanted you to do, you know, you were on your own, weren't you?
Mm.
So you had to find these people. And also, a lot of the synchronicities and the magnetism that were happening around that time were drawing people together and away from other people.
Probably something we'll never understand was happening.
Yes.
X, Y, they're 6 foot apart. Stay at home. Don't go outside, etc. What about that thing that, you know, I was telling someone this the other day, today actually, and I realised how weird it was. And I'll just explain this. So you were on the phone to me the other day, right? And I have a guy who comes round with a fish van.
Yeah.
And I said to you, I've got to go. The fish van guy's here. You've known I've used this guy for years. He turns up and he sells me frozen fish and I like it a bit in the freezer and then I can just grab it out.
Can I just stop you there? Go on. When you went, you put yeah, phone down, say, said, I'll ring you back.
This. I was going to say this. But
yeah. I thought, why didn't a fishman come to me? Because that's where I eat fish. Anyway.
Then you rang me back or I rang you back or whatever. And we were chatting and you said, there's a fucking fish man who just turned up at my house.
Yeah. He knocked on the door. You want any fish while we're on the phone to you?
So even taking away the fact that you thought I want a fish man, because every time I tell you about him, you go, all right. I can hear you thinking, I fucking want him to turn up at my house. And so I had to go because the fish man turned up at my house. And then you had to go within an hour because a fish guy turned up at your house. And you've never had a fish guy turn up at your house.
And we live 200 miles. And it wasn't the same guy.
It definitely works. I mean, does that mean anything? Does it mean anything?
I don't know.
When these synchronicities happen, even though you think they're pointless and meaningless, maybe there is something in it. Fish, the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius. I don't know. Is there something in that? I don't know. Someone, Jonathan, Mark.
Yeah, Jonathan, help Mark, us out, just to help us out.
Just thick bastards ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
But what are the chances of that? You were only because I told someone at work today and they were like, what? And you were a betting guy. And I said, what's your odds on that? And he goes, they're beyond any odds. There's no way to explain that.
No.
Because you remember I had that one in the middle of the lockdowns when I was going to a nursing home. And it, long story short, it involved a truck stuck on a roundabout. And I thought maybe you should have looked further into that mentally. Was it a roundabout? Was it the roundabout? Stuck on a round, going round and round.
Line.
Let's go round again. Was it that? I don't know.
Yeah. Your missus had a situation at work, didn't she? Where apparently now you can't call people certain things at work.
Well, no, she was telling
really,
me...
That's really offensive.
She's telling me at work that they've banned the word guys, so you're not allowed to say, hello, hi, guys.
Right. Sure, it's not gays.
I said you should walk in and go, Mania. I'm not going to say that word because it's horrible, but at the end, you should run and go the N word. Yeah. Is it like a rapper style version of it? How would that go?
If you can't use guys, you can
word up my N word. To be fair, that is a word that I really don't like, if I'm honest with you.
Right. I used to say it to my mum.
No, you didn't.
Because she didn't like it.
No, you didn't say that to me.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Strange, isn't it, how certain words people don't like?
Well, no, it's just, it's a bit, it's, I don't know, it's got too much.
Now, you got a complaint from that guy because you were saying, see, you went James Hunt constantly. And you were saying, I play your videos to kids in church.
Yeah, sorry about that if you still listen.
But probably listening now for your expletives.
I try not to say that.
But going back to not being able to use words, my young one was saying today one of the kids got moved from class because he said something, how did they put it, hurtful or something like that to someone else or kept saying it. Don't know what they said. And he's been moved again, this kid. And he probably hadn't said, that bad. Not in comparison to what we used to get called in the 80s.
We don't know. He might have done.
No, but this is what they're making people now is lily livered, aren't they? They've got no backbone. There's a point where abuse, bad abuse, is bad, right? Mm. And I didn't think we got abused that much. We got called names and stuff like that.
Mm.
Rubber lips, whatever. But I didn't think it were, you know, and I never stayed awake at night thinking, you know. I'm not saying other people didn't.
I have one regret. Like at school, one guy called me the N-word once, and I was stumping for cricket. What are you laughing at?
You playing cricket?
Well, I was stumping because that's where you got put if you couldn't play cricket. I was all right on stumps, actually. I was all right in goals at football as well. by the way. So,
must be them flamingo legs.
Yeah, and he called me the N-word. And even up to this day, it makes my hands sweat with anger, the fact that I didn't take the stump and wrap it around his fucking head.
Right. I thought you weren't violent.
I need to get over it.
I thought you weren't violent. Yeah.
No, honestly, even now, I still think about it. I think, geez, we should have wrapped that fucking bat around his head. This pulled up the stump, wrapped it around his head. But I never did. I just took it.
Yeah. Catherine Hamblin put a good comment on when we were talking about in the last one. But anyway, she answered a comment on YouTube by Irrepressible Me about able-bodied athletes. That were it, because we were doing them blokes who competed in that women's cyclocross or psychopath.
Legs bigger than my waist.
Yeah, yeah.
Girls with legs bigger than my waist, should I say.
And she said, here's an article from Rugby League UK saying that, yes, you can compete if you're able-bodied in Paralympics.
Why is it in Rugby League UK?
Because there's wheelchair Rugby League.
Right, all right.
Here we go. Nobody can see that. But there you go. Wheelchair rugby league is genuinely the most inclusive sport of all. Not solely a disability sport, as non-disabled people are welcome to compete as well. And both men and women, all ages, can play in the same team.
I don't think that's fair.
So the wheelchair is only a tool like a hockey stick or a tennis racket.
I don't think that's fair, do you? Do you think that's fair?
Well, I don't understand. What they do is these things, is it opens a door to lunacy, doesn't it? Because if you're going to take a disabled person's place or a woman's place because you're a bloke who says, now I'm a woman, nobody dare say anything to anybody.
Hmm.
Nobody dare say you're not disabled.
But I would say an able-bodied person in a wheelchair compared to a disabled person in a wheelchair, they haven't had the trials of life of
no.
being disabled.
That's what it's meant to be, surely. But anyway.
Yeah. Not just the fact that you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this is the insane.
Well, like Lou's work, you're not allowed to say a guy.
Yeah.
It starts off at that, and then what's next? You're not allowed to question or contradict the government narrative of, well,
odd. It's odd. Odd. Antonio, sent an email in saying the missing rainbow captain's armband. Do you remember I mentioned that them captains wearing rainbow armbands? And he mentioned at the talk, he was there at the talk, he mentioned on Saturday, he shouted out, if you remember, there was a game where one of the players didn't have one, and he said it was Sheffield United's captain, Anel, I'm not going to try and say his name, from Eastern Europe anyway, versus Liverpool at the weekend, wouldn't wear, because of his religion, he said, the armband.
Hmm. What happened to him?
Nothing.
All right.
But it was on an LGBT website, basically giving him a lot of grief. Yeah, missing rainbow armband. It was on, what's the website called now? Anyway, soccer.
It's not even about disagreeing. I just don't want to be grouped with anyone. I'm not wearing a flag or a band or anything for anything.
I know.
When have you ever worn? I've never worn any. I'm not wearing anything because someone's telling me to wear it. No. Sod off.
This is quite a another one of those emails, is Chris, from Hillary. I won't say her surname. This is a sort of an edited down version. I find it hard to talk about what happened to my mum, but I'm now looking into making a complaint to Leeds NHS Trust. The worst part for me is that I was her carer, and she had severe rheumatoid arthritis, who was quadriplegic. They wouldn't let me go with her. Obviously, she'd been taken into the hospital, Chris, in 2020, I presume. They wouldn't let me go with her, even though she needed me. I kept ringing and ringing and asking to come in and see her, but they repeatedly said no. They lost her between the LGI, Leeds General Infirmary, and Jimmy's, which is in Leeds as well, St. James's. And at 6 p.m, after being taken in at 9 a.m. that morning, they rang me to say they'd found her, and she was settled on a ward. I begged to come see her, but they still said no. 3 hours later at 9 p.m, I got a call to say she'd died.
Oh, God.
The first thing they said was, would you like to come and see her?
Fucking hell. I'm windmilling.
I don't know what I'm doing there. It's a lady.
Girl. That, yeah, sorry about that.
When I got there, you can't say a guy. When I got there, I said, if you dare put COVID on her death certificate, I'll sue your asses, as there's no way she had died of COVID. She had sepsis, and I told them this when they took her in, the ambulance. I don't think they administered antibiotics because of her age. She was 76. We'd already fought with the GP months earlier, as my mum had found a DNR, a do not resuscitate, on her notes that she had not agreed to or signed. She was physically disabled, but she was extremely intelligent, and no way she had agreed to that. The GP said he'd taken it off her notes, but I'm doubting that happened. I'll keep you posted.
Fucking bastards. Bastards.
Do you know, that is like I'm sorry for your loss, by the way, Hillary. It's, that's like the operation that
Nazis did. When they took all those kids into hospital and said they were going to. Well, that's
Acton T4. The euthanasia. That is what happened. I read a book once, right? And it said that and this were it was sort of a fiction book, this, right? Well, it was a fiction book, but it was based around, you know, truth, whatever truth, Second World War, anyway. And basically, this rich family had a child, and they had three kids. One of them had something wrong. I forget what it was now in the book. And he was a high flyer, and he was a Nazi, the guy. So they allowed his kid, they said, look, because your child is such and such, we've got some fantastic new treatments that will help him, and take him to this new hospital that we've got, blah, blah. And he just signed the kid over and went to hospital. About 2 weeks or a week later or whatever, they called him back and said he'd died.
Yeah.
And that's what were happening to, and going back to how they kept it quiet, just like what's happening now, that nobody notices. It was happening in families, that type of thing.
And that's proper euthanasia, because euthanasia is not actually depopulation. Euthanasia is controlling who has children and which children.
What farmers talk about with foxes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or rabbits.
But it's the same thing. It's still depop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is, like you said, it's exactly what the Nazis were doing.
It's exactly the same.
And that's why we had the Nuremberg Code to say... Yes. You can't experiment on someone or coerce someone to take.
I suppose they're not experimenting either.
No, because you know what's going to fucking happen.
They know what's going to happen. And these doctors have to look back and think, well, I don't know how they sort of cover it up in their own mind. I don't know how they think that was justifiable behaviour.
No. Well, according to that, what that information Liz Gunn's produced, they know the names of the vaccinators, and they said they've pinpointed one vaccinator in New Zealand as actually 400 people have died from them giving out the jib jab.
Times that by how many? And
was that targeting that area though? Was that targeting that village or town or whatever it was? Were they targeting that? I mean,
to whack 400 people.
Was it to whack 400 ethnics in New Zealand? Yeah. Who knows?
And also...
that's me putting my ethnic head on.
Yeah, yeah. But that person wouldn't have even known they were whacking people.
No, they might have thought they were doing the best thing ever.
Because they were bringing people from out of town as well, if you remember. Yeah. They weren't. You think of a doctor's surgery, let's just say there's three doctors in the surgery, and there's the nurses and the administrators. I don't know how many people that surgery serves on average. I worked it out, and I think it were about a couple of thousand people that they serve. Mm. So let's just say they whack 10% of them, but that's in every surgery.
Mm. I can't help thinking about when it first started out, and I was having a conversation, and you said, maybe they have to get to a number. And once they, you know, because they know all the stats and all the information from their groups of whatever, think tanks, and maybe they have to get to a number and then it stops. And it, you know, it always we talked about it quite early on, you know, when we were discussing everything and the way it played out in England. And I always think of that week when they were saying all the nurses and doctors are going to get da-da-da-da-da. And then they said, no, they don't, because of new data. And they stopped it within the same week. They was plugging it. And they stopped it. So, and I always think back to when you were saying, do you think they've got like a quota, a number? Mm. And once they get that number, they can ease off the pedal. They'll still push it a little bit, but not like they were before. And I think that was the point where they had got the number.
Mm.
Do you remember when, what's his name, Savage Javid was sweating like fucking
Michael Jackson
in a playground?
Yeah. Well, let me play this video of Johnson. And this, if you look at him here, it looks odd. Just odd behaviour. I know you can't see it, but you'll be able to hear him.
God.
Yeah. I'll just play this video.
Hi, folks. It's Friday the 12th of February. And as I speak, we've vaccinated about 14 million people now across the whole of the UK. That's the first jab for 14 million people. It looks like we are on target. We very much hope to reach the JCVI, the most vulnerable groups, 1 to 4, by the 15th. And obviously, there's a lot of work going on to make sure that we do that. And I want to thank, again, everybody involved, the vaccinators, the NHS staff, all the army personnel who are helping, the pharmacists, the volunteers, the council officials, many, many council workers doing fantastic work on the vaccine programme. Thank you all. We couldn't do it without you. I was up at Derby seeing the incredible work being done by the vaccination centre there, where they're really going gangbusters. I mean, shooting the lights out. I think they're ahead of target in terms of vaccinating the groups that they have to do. And people are working absolutely flat out in spite of the weather conditions at the All Woodley Medical Centre in Leeds. They had to dig people out of a snowdrift, or dig the whole thing out of a snowdrift in order to keep going and do 1,200 vaccinations per day. That's the kind of dedication that we're seeing. Thanks to all of them. But I really want to thank all of you, everybody who's coming forward to get vaccinated. It's very, very important that you do so, but there are still a few people, still a million or more, who have not yet come forward to get your vaccinations in this group. Please do so. It's very, very easy. Just contact your GP, reply to the letter, which you should have got by now, or just ring 119 and you'll be put through and help to get a vaccination.
Yeah, ring 119 or 911, and get your jabs in action. You know when he's thanking everyone, he's like pointing out who's actually done the nasty on
people. You're involved now.
Yeah, you are 100% involved. You're
culpable to this.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Well, again, you're looking at this thing, and it's like
we're doing really well. We're shooting the lights out of it. Mm. Yeah. Shooting someone's lights out.
Yeah. But dambusters or gangbusters? I don't know what he's saying, but the vaccination program, and that is like what that Action T4 was, Acton T4. That was a program. And that felt to me like a board meeting. That were like, you've got a board meeting pre-Christmas. You set your targets for next year type of thing.
And it's giving you the rundown of how well we're doing.
Yes. It's like it's his monthly, February when they were talking. It's like his monthly sales chat.
Mm.
Pep talk.
You need an update on how you're doing with the gym jabs. 14 million.
I know. And going back to what you were saying about they reached a number and then just turned it off.
Mm. I think they did, Vi. I think you were right.
Mm. You turned it off. I'm right or not, but
they turned it off worldwide.
Yeah, they did
instantly. I mean, they're still. It's like they've still got a little troll in it out, just gathering what's left up. You know.
Yeah.
They're still putting a bit of effort in, but the foot's off the accelerator, isn't it, as to what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather Mills blames corporate greed and Brexit for her vegan company's collapse. She's spoken about the collapse of her beloved business, V-Bites, after 30 years.
I didn't even know she had a vegan.
No, I didn't either. Isn't it weird how Heather Mills, Matt Sergio sent me this, Heather Mills has had a vegan business. Linda McCartney had a
still going, isn't business. It? Yeah. Linda McCartney. To be fair, I do GMO, occasionally buy some
burgers.
I do occasionally buy a Linda McCartney burger.
GMO.
Is it GMO'd?
It will be. Yeah. Yeah. Don't eat any of that shite. But anyway, I'm a lot more hardcore. I just can't bring myself to it. She's paid tribute to workers at the firm. I think there were 100-odd of them working there. And she said they put blood, sweat, and tears into it. That's probably why it went under. Probably the people don't.
is that literal? Is it?
Yeah. Like black pudding.
Just to add the flavour.
Yeah. Blood, sweat, and tears. No piss. That's all right, though. But one thing I would say, I mean, she's. I don't know the reasons behind why her business isn't around anymore. But, you know, these things are happening like that.
You've written there the fact that she blamed Brexit for the business demand. You know, something I'll say, right? Because I got an update on my Etsy account with my sculptures, and I posted to 22 countries last year, right? How is it, right, that it's harder and there's more kind of paperwork to post to Europe than there is to America? Because what they did, because of the Brexit thing, they had to make it. Like it, you know, you were like throwing the fucking toys out of the pram.
Well, no, I mean, before all this started, it was more difficult. You had to, I remember you used to go to Malta and you got a visa to go in there and stuff like that.
No, but what I mean Malta is,
the EU.
Yeah, but it's kind of more difficult to post something to Europe than it is to America. That don't make it, or anywhere else in the world.
Well, no.
There's more paperwork. Yeah. And they brought that in after Brexit.
Well, they are talking about Europe, obviously, because of this, their business has been affected. Like, say, if you had a house in France or Spain now, you can't. I think you can only go there for 6 weeks and live there, whereas you used to be able to just go when you wanted.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the effect it's had on their business, can't you?
But do you know what? I can't help thinking that it's all shenanigans because... I always thought it was shenanigans anyway when all Europe went into the Euro and England didn't. I'm not clever enough to work out what the plan is there, but there's a reason that we've still got the pound and everyone else lost their sovereign coin.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I'm not clever enough to work it out. And the Brexit thing, there's another reason behind that old shenanigans. And
I think it comes back to
us.
These different teams.
Is it that England's special in some weird way?
Well, central London, isn't it? The city of London.
I can't help thinking that is something to do with us never leaving the pound.
I mean, I had a couple of emails with Godlamast Wim. We were talking about John Lackland, about signing the Magna Carta. There's something that links back all these people to that period of time.
I saw that the other month in the British Library. Yeah. I went to British Library. Basically blank, because it all worn away.
But what she said was that there's misinformation about veganism being undertaken by the meat and dairy industries. And I'm thinking, really? I'd say veganism's more pushed and they're really clamping down on, you know, there's a new thing out at minute where I think it's called blue tongue for animals that might need all killing. Because they're getting this supposed virus called blue tongue. I mean, they just keep rolling this shit out. What was that other one? Anyway, blue tongue. So I just don't believe that nonsense that veganism is being closed down because of veganism's being pushed, but I don't think anybody wants it. I think there's a few people that want it, right? For various reasons, we mentioned this before. But people our age still want to eat some fish or some meat. Is there a problem with mass farming? Yeah. But do you know what, Chris? And we keep saying this. If we wanted to grow all this veg in Huddersfield to feed Huddersfield, that could happen. If we wanted to grow all this veg, all this meat in Huddersfield and eggs and dairy, that could happen because it used to happen.
Yeah, easily.
Again, all green fields out here, would be possible. They want it to do the same in Halifax. They want it to do the same in Leeds. There's enough fields around to cater for even West Yorkshire, if they did it as a West Yorkshire, right?
Yeah. Or, and that would be the answer, wouldn't it? That would be the answer. Each district looks after its own. And if they need help from another district, they tap in and ask for help and trade, and, you know, just like it used to be. We were actually, I was talking to a few people, actually, a guy from Huddersfield at the thing on Saturday. And we were talking about Dewsbury Market. Now, our dad had a butcher's stall on Dewsbury Market. They were saying it was one of the biggest markets in England at one point. And I remember going there as a kid. And it was massive and it was rammed.
Yeah.
And Huddersfield Market was the same.
Mm.
And that world's gone, isn't it? Where people bring the wares to trade.
And trade, meet up. Yeah.
And all those market traders would, they would, I mean, our dad used to come on with all kinds of shit, didn't they? They'd trade some stuff for some stuff, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, well, our dad used to swap. If we needed some football trainers or some trainers or football boots or whatever,
I never needed football boots.
You didn't need football boots. But if you need some ballet shoes or something like that, right, he'd swap meat for it.
Or a Batman outfit. I've got a Batman.
From Toy Shop or whatever. Yeah,
that came from a market, yeah.
Batman helicopter.
You got
a big shill mic. It might have been able to get us that sword as well.
You got footballs and I got superhero drawing equipment.
Yeah. But he'd swap it for meat.
Yeah. He came home with our first video recorder in a bin bag.
Yeah. I don't think he swapped that for meat. No, he probably did, actually.
No, he swapped it for a Doberman pup.
Right. Yeah. Character. A character. Mm. Not many of them about. Mm. In fact, he bought our house when he bought the small hole in the farm.
Mm.
It was owned by two separate, the golf club owned the barn and the field, and an old Gout Road, Tom Wingnut. He owned the house, and he bought the house, right, with cash and a freezer full of meat.
Yeah. Beautiful times.
Yeah, beautiful times.
That's the world we belonged in, fire.
Yes.
Where I'm trading fucking sculptures for shit.
Well, that is it. You know, people going about business, but there's nothing wrong with business, as long as you're not standing on somebody's throat to get ahead of them.
Yeah, but we've been trained through the telly box to stand on people's throat to get ahead.
What, like Alan Sugar?
By Alan Sugar, yeah. He was brought in to be...
Dragon's Den.
Your fight, yeah. Just to be a C-U-N-T about making money.
Yeah.
You can't do it nicely. You've got to be a C-U-N-T.
Yeah. You can't offer a nice product, get fulfillment out of offering that product.
No.
You've got to poison someone or destroy them.
Destroy them. Step on their head. Step on the throat. Screw them. You've got to get to the top. And if you don't, you're fired. Useless bastard.
I know. Sad, isn't it? I got sent these, I think it was Lorraine that sent me them, these pictures that in Israel, they've done a fashion show, and this is what the headline said: beauty and bravery in the face of Hamas terror. Survivors of October 7th massacre put on extraordinary fashion show with outfits, including wedding dress worn by a model whose fiancé died saving lives, and the bride with a bullet wound like a executed husband.
God. And sick, aren't they?
Yeah, I'll if you go online. I mean, you'd be able to find these very easily. But one lady's got it's a strange dress she's got on with hands all over it, blood all over it, and a pretend bullet wound with a gag over her mouth, a bullet wound in her head. And the other lady's got a wedding dress on with two knives across her heart, and a bullet wound in her chest. And tears dribbling around down the face. And now, whether they're real or not, I don't know.
Forget that this is for to commemorate the Hamas, whatever, false flag nonsense.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever is going on there. That's given them the excuse to come out with some satanic fashion, basically.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah. Where does this stuff end? I said it looks like that Beatles album.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that, where they had them animal parts.
Do you look at that and think, oh, it's so horrible what's going on in Israel? No, you just think, you're mental. You people are mental.
I know. Why do you need to do that? That's what I think. Is that what you do?
Even if the whole shenanigans is real, do you need to do that?
No. No. I mean, we've gone over that, I don't know how many times. There's no way a load of people in hang gliders and golf carts would have got through
the
gates.
Did you see that thing? Where they had them all in their underpants in back of a truck fire.
Mm.
those Hamas, apparently Hamas guys. I mean, what, whether you're right or
who's
wrong.
Who's filming it?
Who's filming it? And whether you're right or wrong, at what point do you think that that is a good, I mean, that reminded me of Guantanamo Bay, but at what point is that right to do to another human being? You know what I mean? Even if they have invaded your, even if they have broke out of the,
I've got some videos, right,
and attack someone or whatever. Why would you strip someone down to their underpants and bind them from behind and drive them around in a truck?
Yeah, I listened to a video yesterday of, I think I sent it over to you, a Jewish religious leader. I didn't download it, so I can't play it. I'll try and get it for the next. The next one. And it, I mean, the actual interview is too long to play the whole of it. But he's saying, right, this guy is basically saying he's not a Zionist, he's a Jew. Two different things. And he's got the whole, unless he's an actor, you know, he's got the whole Jewish hair, hat, you know, he's a rabbi, this guy.
Yeah.
And he's saying what they're doing is disgusting, basically. You know,
well, like I said,
how anybody can justify what's going on is beyond me. You know, even if anyway, we spoke about this, I don't know how many times. It's just, you know, even if Hamas, not the Palestinian people, but Hamas went through there and did what they said, right?
Still not a justified reaction.
Whether it's a justified reaction to say, right, you've killed 1,000, we're going to kill 1,000. I'm not saying I agree with it. You could sort of understand that one. But to kill 20, it's a bit like 9/11, isn't it? 9/11, 3,500 people die.
Let's invade a country and kill a million.
Let's kill millions of people.
It's like a Monge schoolyard bully.
Yeah.
But it's not that, because it's orchestrated. That's what was meant to happen from the beginning.
Well, apparently they told them to all move south, then they started bombing south as well. I mean, this is just to squeeze them out, isn't it? And this rabbi was showing pictures of going back like 50-100 years when they said Jewish people and Palestinians all lived together.
Got on fine.
Lived in peace.
Yeah. Even going back just after the First World War when they introduced it got on fine.
The British caused the trouble.
They were trying to cause trouble, as always, like in every fucking thing we've listened to in the last 20, 30, 40 years that we've been alive. They want the trouble. That's the point. Because they want to drain the fucking energy.
Well, again, as David Icke says,
psychopaths.
And by the way, David Icke lost his daughter this week, so we send commiserations to the Icke family, Jamie and Gareth. Very sad. Oh. Sad news. The assistant chief constable, Peter Lawson, who worked on the Nicola Bulley case, has died suddenly, aged 50. He took a high-profile role in the search for Nicola Bulley earlier this year and has died suddenly at his home.
Sorry, Nicola Bulley, is that the woman who vanished in the river?
Yeah, we'll come to that in a sec. His death is believed to be medical related and has been referred to the coroner. I hope it's not that one that did RFK and...
John Lennon.
Yeah, same one. He was highly respected and admired by all who knew him and worked with him. Didn't say whether he had any children or not, or he was married. Mr. Lawson also gave evidence to the Manchester Arena terror attack inquiry.
Ching.
Yes. That stood out to me, did that?
Yeah. Two weird.
Two. Yes.
Two weird, possibly bullshit psyops. And the same guys involved. But again, remind you of, Michael Jackson guy that stinks of dodginess to me, fire.
Yeah, just...
What was that Nicola Bulley thing about? What was that about?
I don't know.
Was that just a mass distraction?
Well, can you remember, right? They looked and looked and looked. A bit like David Paulides, where they were looking, and then all of a sudden she was... A bit like... Blooming, who is its dad? Asher's dad looked all over the place for him and then found him in the cellar.
Exactly where they were looking. What was that about? And then as soon as they found her, the story vanished. Never to be discussed again.
Yeah. Never but then it's brought up like that in this situation here. Is that a warning to somebody? Because it was sort of in there. He also gave evidence at the Manchester terror attack inquiry. A bit like that thing we did last week with that lady, Baroness Hallett or whatever she was called. Apparently, anti-Covid did a breakdown of her name and it were 88.
Right.
But when you look at, I put a comment on there, I said, the breakdown of her name is 88, I don't know how she, Hallett in gematria, but also she looked at 77. So she's got 88 and 77.
Hmm.
What does that mean? I'm not a numerologist, don't know. A bit like we were talking earlier. Somebody asked me at the talk, what's next? And I think I've got what's next. But a little bit of it is we were discussing Elon Musk. He's had most of his businesses now. He had, I think, X.com that turned into PayPal. X now with Twitter. X Corp, which is the head of Twitter. He's got SpaceX.
Pretty sure X is a 6 in numerology.
So he's got at least three X. There's three X's there anyway, which is 666.
Are you crazy conspiracy guys?
Oh, you crazy, crazy weirdo.
I mean, why would you? We were on about this today. Why would you change Twitter, which had a lovely little logo, that little bird, the name Twitter, fine, everything. You change it to X, and now they go X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
Why would you do that as a business?
You've X'd me.
Why would you do that as a business move?
Don't know.
You just wouldn't do it. Then you think of pornography, triple X, 666 is basically mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Two audience members collapse at the Depot Theatre in Liverpool, one taken away by ambulance. Ralph Fiennes, who were playing Macbeth, the play was altered twice.
After all, audience members collapse, what, at different times?
Yeah.
Must have been doing a stunning show.
Yeah. A Divxter survey, one-fifth of adults, I don't know how true all this stuff is, these are what people are sending me, by the way, one-fifth of adults would support reintroduction of COVID lockdowns.
Bullshit.
The same proportion would support closing pubs and restaurants, results reveal.
You know, I guess there is a group of psychos out there that would do that.
Caring people. They obviously... These people are pure NPCs, aren't they? Taking exams is bad for the environment, Chris. Research reveals one GCSE test has the same carbon footprint as 5 washing machine cycles.
Is that an actual real article?
Well, it's an article, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Can you imagine going to your editor to print that? I mean, any journalist listen to this.
Like loads of tyrants.
This is a big story.
I've got the story.
You've got the story here.
Throwing it in a paper airplane.
Mr. Jameson.
Across the room to get some quicker.
Yeah. And there's a catastrophe. Scientists reveal while your free-ranging pet, feline, is wrecking havoc in the environment.
They've gone after cats.
By killing birds and stuff.
They've gone after cats quite a few times, haven't they? Even in the Divock, they went after cats, I remember, saying it could be spreading it to your house. And I always thought it was...
Well, my cats were just green steam coming out of the mouth.
But I think I always thought they were aiming it at old people, because old people aren't allowed to see anybody, obviously, because if they do, they'll just drop dead instantly. Yeah. And then, you know, a lot of them, the only thing they've got is a cat.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking cats are bastards as well.
Yeah.
How do I get out of this?
It makes you wonder if any time, right, they're just going to round them up.
Well, sometimes sounds like that, doesn't it? You know, I saw one who was a new strain of some from a pigeon, and there's a picture of a pigeon, like looking at camera. Like, fuck, am I next? He's going out shooting.
No, it's humans that's the problem.
Yeah.
Not the pigeon. Humans are the problem.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember who the problem is.
Yeah, everybody's the problem. Kill everybody. Everything and everybody. Climate Minister Graham Stewart makes a 6,824-mile round trip from Rwanda to vote on, I think he's, what, there's a big vote in Parliament, I don't know what it is, and so he's done a round trip and he's the climate minister. Because they had to have him back because they don't want to lose the vote, the Tories.
What's his carbon footprint for that? 6,824-mile round trip.
What he's going to do is kill a few cats and ban a few, ban his kids from having GCSEs. That'll solve it all.
Turn his washing machine off.
Turn his washing machine off for five cycles. But it turns out that in 2023, it emerged that he'd received 10 grand donation for his campaign from energy company J.R. Ricks and Sons, based out of Hull. Ricks Petroleum Limited is the largest subsidiary of J.R. Ricks and Sons, which turned over about £400 million way back in 2011. And he's the environment minister telling us we can't use cars. He's also been given £2,000 from Boston Air, an aviation company also based in Hull. From they do, he said on the website, from recruitment to line maintenance, our services to the aviation industry span a number of key areas. And I saw Virgin Atlantic on there and stuff. So Richard Branson, even though he's saving the environment, apparently you can use pearl necklaces now to instead of fuel.
What a shit show.
What are we living through, man?
We are. I was saying to you today, you know, when I hear like certain books coming out about, you know, JFK and John Lennon getting shot and Saran, are we actually experiencing the unveiling of bullshit fire? Do you think we are? I think we are. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I think this is what they've been scared of. That I'm saying they, as in the psychopaths that run the world.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just got this weird feeling the other day that all this shit is just, it's like scum gathering up on a shore and they can't hide it anymore. It's unhideable.
Well, the more lies, the more obvious to people like us, people who are listening there on Saturday, the more obvious it becomes, doesn't it?
And like I said, it is the internet race. They start the internet, right? And that was the ultimate control tool.
Mm.
But the race is on because that also allows information to be passed instantly. And that's why loads of conspiracy theorists... That's why loads of us woke knobheads talking about everything.
We're not woke. We're awake.
Awake. And all these books...
You might be woke, because...
All these books are coming out as well. Yeah. You know, even like Devil in Three, one's about musical truth.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple of Jedi ones about... all this stuff, esoteric Hollywood, all this stuff is coming out. One's about John Lennon, the McCartney thing and all this. Why is it all coming out now at this point in time? Is it because there is an awakening and an unveiling of bullshit? I mean,
well, it is the...
You're in a parallel universe at the minute because you look at the telly box, right, and you just see bullshit.
Yes.
But then some people don't see any bullshit.
No, that's real to them. Everything's real. The worry is, they think the inquiry into Divock, for argument's
sake...
And
we're mental. I mean, we may be mental. That's possible. And like you say, you're watching that Divock inquiry, and it's just a fucking charade of wrestlers.
Blaming each other. Valance blames him. Witty blames him. Johnson Wayne blames him. Blames him.
No, how about this? It's all fucking bollocks.
Theresa May's fault from Brexit.
From day one to day now, it's all bollocks.
Yeah. Let's get David Cameron back and Tony Blair.
Yeah. Let's get fucking Marshmallow Head back.
Yeah. I'm going to play this video just as a last one for the last few minutes. It's Chris's mate, Mr. O'Brien.
Is that the crescendo you're going to put O'Brien on?
The Chuck Norris roundhouse. Having a call from a shady character who didn't have a jab.
Oh, hi, James. I've been really scared to ring about this subject. And the reason is because, I'll give you the background. So I have always been in the natural health world. It's what I do for a living and it's what I believe inherently. So my default is to do everything naturally. I exercise, eat well, take the relevant supplements, all that kind of thing. So when the vaccine came
As long as you're not seriously ill.
No, well, exactly.
Yeah.
But my natural, the way my needle moved was, I don't think I'm for the vaccine. Now, that doesn't make me a conspiracy theorist or weird person or anything like that. No, it doesn't.
Does it not?
And this is the problem. I'll tell you why it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because I took my mum for her jab. I took, you know, I'm quite happy for that. I have, you know, I don't discuss this with many people. And I said to you, you know, the fact that even you just said, oh, it does a bit, that's so disrespectful to me. On the other side...
It's really not, if it's true.
No, it is not. On the other side, those who are... Can I speak?
Yeah, well, of course you can, but you've just accused me of being disrespectful, so I need to defend myself.
Okay.
You don't believe... You're not for the vaccine. That is a conspiracy theory.
But I'm not against the vaccine either, James. That's my whole point.
Right.
That's my whole point. And it's this kind of pressure that's really made it difficult for me to make my decision. Now,
well, then speak to the scientists and the doctors.
Yes, which I have been listening. Within my circles... I would say the majority of people within my circles are very anti-vaccine, okay, because of obviously the information that we have from the natural health point of view. Now, the problem is...
Which is cobblers.
Because I've not been pro-vaccine, necessarily, I've then been almost labelled as the term that's being used is awake on the other side, people who know better. I'm not comfortable with that because I'm not in that category either. I'm just in the middle. I'm just a person who says, I actually don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, then speak to people who do know.
Well, the problem is...
Speak to virologists.
Can I... Well, OK, so the position I've come
to... But why is that even a controversial thing to say? If your car breaks down, do you go to a mechanic or do you go to your friends in your circles?
The position I came to yesterday...
Please, just tell me that, if you would.
Look, can I just say, though, the position I came to yesterday is I am going to have the jab. I am going to have the jab,
Good. Well done.
OK, and the reason was because I spoke to somebody... Well, I've listened to lots of people, and this is what I wasn't getting a chance to do because everyone's so angry about...
Can't listen to her because she's as annoying as he is.
Do you think she was planted there, Fanny?
Well, you know, when you listen to that...
It's an argument, and then the conclusion is, but I'm going to get the jab.
But I'm going to have it anyway.
Yeah. I think she was a plant.
Yeah. Do you think he knows that?
I think he's in on the lot, to be honest with you, Fanny. The way that he defends everything that's ever said about... Because I listened to a lot of that at the time.
I couldn't listen to him.
Yeah, no, I know you didn't. I did when I was driving to the... when I was working. And I listened to a lot, and he basically trounced anyone who questioned it. He's fully fucking paid up, that rat, pig-eyed bastard.
Just how it is, Chris.
No, just you, mate. I'm not violent, right, but he's just... You've seen his demeanour, the way he's hunched over and his one big ear sticking out. Just makes me cringe, that fucker. And how weird is called O'Brien?
I know. You couldn't make this stuff up if you really wanted to, could you?
No. I don't think you have to.
So, on that happy note, listening to James O'Brien, I do apologise for putting you through that, but...
I'm going to do a caricature of James O'Brien for this one. I need to...
Summon up your inner 2021.
Best drawings come from rage, I think.
Yeah, well, you did do his, didn't you? You've done Nick Ferrari.
Yeah, I did Nick Ferrari. I need to do James O'Brien. And you've given me the perfect reason to do it,
We haven't used Ferrari yet.
Have you not?
I used the Boris one at the weekend.
But you give me the perfect excuse to draw old grease trap.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, we'll see you next time. If you're going to join us for part two, we'll see you at the other side of the sheep pen. If not, see you next time. Bye.